From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news. For the past 8 years, families in Juneau and Sitka have opened their homes to high school students on exchange from countries with a significant Muslim population. Volunteers with the program say it's more relevant than ever. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin met this year's exchange students in Juneau and has this story.
Zayn Mufti was half asleep at home in Pakistan when he looked at his phone. What he saw was an email telling him he would spend the next school year abroad, in Alaska.
And I thought it was a dream. And the next morning I wake up, I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, I am going to Alaska. It was a very big shock.
Mufti had been accepted to a program that brings to the U.S. students from countries with a large Muslim population. The students are matched with the host family and attend local schools for 1 year. Funded by the State Department, it works the other way too, sending American students abroad to dozens of countries in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and Eastern Europe. This year, the program brought 2 students to Juneau and 4 more to Sitka. Chris Ann Rice is a volunteer in Sitka with the program. She says it was started in the wake of 9/11 as a way to build relationships on a personal level between the U.S. and Muslim countries.
We have an opportunity to, through this exchange program, meet young people and learn directly firsthand from them what their faith is about and what their lives and culture are about.
And the students get to learn firsthand what life is like here. Mohan Raja Rule is from Chennai, a city of 9 million on India's eastern coast. Back home, temperatures dip into the 70s only in the coldest months. When interviewers asked Rule where he'd like to be placed, he suggested Florida. But after a few weeks of wearing his coat at all times, indoors and out, Rule says he quickly took a liking to life in Sitka. He got used to everyone in town knowing his name, and he's had plenty of firsts. First time seeing snow, first time skiing, camping. He's especially enjoyed going fishing with his host family. In India, he says, that's a luxury for the rich. On the boat, his host dad gave him a quick lesson.
So he taught me like twice or thrice, I guess. And then after that, I started like picking up fishes. And then he was kind of jealous for the first time because I got the biggest size of the halibut like none of the family members got.
Chris Ann Rice says students in the program haven't always had an easy time. She knows that over the years, some have faced anti-Muslim insults, but she thinks the program is accomplishing its goal of building goodwill and understanding, even with a shifting political climate.
In 2019, it's more important than ever, based on our own political realities in our country and what we hear from our friends and neighbors and leaders.
This year, students say they've been embraced by the community. That's not to say it hasn't been challenging. They're far from home, speaking a second language, and pushing themselves out of their comfort zone every day. And of course, there's the cold. Still, Amra Kovic from Bosnia and Herzegovina is happy she's here.
I think for me, it's the best decision that I've ever made in my life. Because you meet so many people, you see so many things, you become more independent.
Kovic and the other students say they've learned a lot about themselves this year. Some have even discovered new interests. More than halfway through the school year, Mufti says he's trying to make the most of every moment.
It's only 10 months, and it goes like a snap, like a finger.
Rice says right now the program is looking for families in Juneau and Sitka to host next year's exchange students. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
Cruise season is closing in. Every year, Juneau sees more and more tourists. And while the rapid growth has been a boon for business, it's also caused challenges. But this week's annual Innovation Summit featured an expert from halfway around the world. She came to Juneau with advice on how to tackle tourism. I attended the conference and have this report. Juneau is Alaska's most visited city in the summer. This year, 1.3 million cruise ship passengers are expected to visit.
And we're experiencing the impacts of that, the positive impacts, but also the impacts on community over the last several years.
That's Brian Holst, Executive Director of the Juneau Economic Development Council. He works with industry leaders to increase local business opportunities. But some in the visitor industry say the cracks are beginning to show, with long lines and wait times at some of the most popular tourist sites and traffic jams downtown. When they went looking for advice, Holst says they decided to look outside Alaska.
And we found a place that's similar, northern location, that's growing actually faster and has been growing faster in Iceland.
They discovered the Iceland Tourism Cluster. Holst visited Iceland with a local delegation last year, and that's where he met Asta Kristin Sigurjonsdottir, the CEO. Sigurjonsdottir came to Juneau's Innovation Summit and explained Iceland's rise in popularity as a tourist destination. Much like Southeast Alaska, the number of visitors the tiny island nation sees every summer has outgrown its total residents. Today, 2.5 million tourists visit each year.
We have drifted away from counting the tourists, you know, it doesn't matter how many they are, we just have to look at the value that they bring.
With its climate and unspoiled natural beauty, it's easy to see the similarities between Iceland and Southeast Alaska. But Iceland's visitors mostly come by plane. They only see about 200,000 cruise ship visitors annually. Still, the strain on local resources and congestion at tourist sites was a major issue for them too. Sigurður Jónsdóttir says it took several years for them to get a handle on the growth. The creation of the tourism group helped by allowing businesses to team up to tackle the challenges. They developed marketing campaigns to better inform visitors about being safe and respectful.
Hello and welcome to Iceland Academy. My name is Jonas, and today's class we will be discussing a very important topic, safety.
Now, Sigurður Jónsdóttir says they're focused on looking ahead.
It is a challenge, of course, when something grows so fast, like 20, 30 to 40% per year. So, and we want to manage it for the longer run because we want to be sustainable in tourism, and we are looking at the next 20, 30, 40 to 50 years in tourism.
Although the growth has slowed down, Sigurður Jónsdóttir says they've put more energy into increasing the number of winter visitors. They've managed to turn tourism into a year-round industry. That's something Juno would like to do too. Hulse says October through April remain a largely untapped market.
Asta mentioned being proactive, and this is exactly what we're trying to be.
Alaskans curious about Iceland can see for themselves. Icelandair has direct flights from Anchorage to Reykjavik. And a Juneau man serving decades in prison for murdering a Tenneke Springs woman 16 years ago has lost a challenge claiming that his defense attorneys didn't work in his best interests. But it does not necessarily mean the end of the line for James Harmon. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on the story.
On New Year's Eve 2002, James Harmon was identified by a witness as trying to sexually assault Maggie Wiggin at her cabin in Tenneke Springs. Then a few months later, in March of 2003, the 19-year-old Wiggin disappeared. Harmon, then 24 years old, was interviewed by investigators, but he was not initially placed into custody, and he quickly left Tenneke Springs. Wiggin's body was found a month later, buried inside an earthen dam that was under construction near her cabin. Harmon was arrested over a year after that. Nearly 60 witnesses testified during Harmon's trial in Juneau in 2005. He was convicted and sentenced to 72 years in prison for murder, sexual assault, and attempted sexual assault, and for taking $100 bills that belonged to Wiggin. His conviction and sentence was later upheld after a regular or standard appeal to the Alaska Court of Appeals. Harmon then sought something different from a regular appeal called post-conviction relief. Petitions for post-conviction relief are submitted to the trial court and include review of issues that were not obvious at trial, like new evidence or juror and prosecutorial misconduct. They may also include claims alleging the conviction or sentence violated the U.S. or Alaska constitutions. As a remedy, a defendant might ask for the conviction to be thrown out or ask for a new trial or sentence. During oral arguments last August, Harmon claimed inadequate or insufficient representation by public defenders David Side and Julie Willoughby, his two trial attorneys in Juneau. Harmon referred to a long list of utterances and instances in which he believed demonstrated that his attorneys were unprepared for court on more than one occasion, unenthusiastic or indifferent about representing him, and failed to inform him about certain false claims made by the state. In a 137-page decision issued January 24th, Ketchikan Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens denied the petition for post-conviction relief and wrote that Harmon failed to prove any of his claims. Harmon has not yet exhausted all of his options. He can still appeal the decision to the Alaska Court of Appeals, which is probably why Judge Stevens issued such a long and carefully detailed decision in the case. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom.